Add this one to the list of nightmares that keep parents awake. Your child picks up a syringe off the ground and is pricked by it. That happened yesterday, just before lunchtime, in the Roncesvalles and Dundas neighborhood.
We found it in the schoolyard, and then we picked it up, and then we shot it in our hands.
That's Lily. Lily is 5 years old. She and two other children, also 5 years old, spotted some needles on the ground on private property adjacent to their schoolyard. They reached through a fence, picked up those needles, and yeah, they were pricked by them. Police could not say if the syringes had been used. The kids were taken to the hospital, though, as a precaution. What a precaution they had to go through. 8 hours they were in the hospital yesterday. More needles, more treatment.
It hurt a lot, and all of us had to do it, and, we also had to do it because they said to do it, and then... Then we got the needles.
Better speaker than me. Plus, she had to take HIV-killing medication, or she's going to have to take it. These meds for the next month, 28 days, to ensure she was not infected with HIV. Looks like they're going to be okay. Lily's mom, she has some advice. Don't be like her. Do not forget to have a conversation with your kids about leaving syringes alone.
Talk to your kids about this. Warn them. Show them what they look like. Tell them about the dangers, right, of picking things up like this and playing with them. What are you going to do if you find anything like that again?
Tell the teacher.
This story even made its way to Ontario's education minister. He was asked about this.
That is a disturbing report. We want to make sure the safety of our kids is the paramount priority of all of us in education, our trustees, our superintendents, our directors, our educators. So, there are protocols in place to make sure that the grounds of schools are safe. And boards do adhere to those.
He's advising people, call the school board. If you notice things like syringes left near a school, heck, it was myself, pick them up. Pick them up and throw them out. Do what you can to dispose of them.
Obviously, safely, yeah.
Yeah, don't get pricked by them. But, if I pricked myself on a syringe I found on the ground, I'd be losing my mind. So I can only fathom how a parent going through that sort of thing and concerned that what your child might have been infected with.
Yeah, and what a world where you have to have that conversation.
Yeah.
A lot of people are, and it keeps coming back, so let's address it. A lot of people are saying the schools really need to do a better job of walking through and figuring out what's on school property, not only during the, before the day starts, but during the day as well. I don't know if we have the people for that or the manpower for that.
Oh, I smell a press release.
Yeah, well, they have rules in place in the school grounds. They do walk. Now, worth clarifying, the way this was described to us, I haven't seen a photo of it yet, is that it was more of almost of an alleyway. So once again, this was not on school grounds. They were reaching through a fence onto private property, some form of maybe an alleyway behind some homes or some businesses.
Yeah, it sounded like it had some sort of chain link fencing.
That's right.
And that type
of
thing.
And then they pulled it through. But do we expand that then to say, obviously, if a school does, if the custodial staff walks the grounds at times, should they go that little bit further to check just outside the fence? Because obviously now we have this example where a five-year-old could reach a syringe and the repercussions of that.
But how many things are you going to miss?
A lot.
Right? Like, you're not going to get
everything.
You can only
do so much.
Yeah, and if you're talking about a decent-sized schoolyard, and this one is, you're not going to catch everything. It's just not going to happen.
Impossible.
Yeah.
So, I just feel so bad for the family.
And you
but,
hear that kid. I mean, God.
Yeah, and did have to go through it all yesterday, and then now 28 days. And the mother, she was pretty stressed out, obviously, but she says it looks like they're going to be okay. Everything's fine, but still just a horrible reminder that, heck, someone in our newsroom said he was talking to his wife about the story, and the text back and forth was, well, we're going to have a discussion with our son tonight about this very thing then. You know, it's necessary.
I do agree with Christy. She said at the round table, this mom probably being a little bit hard on herself.
Yeah,
I don't think she could have seen that coming. So don't be so hard on
yourself. There's only so many things you could prepare for. A kid touching a syringe, probably not top of your list.
Well, somebody else in the newsroom was talking about their kid, and I hear this is quite common. They pick up trash. They see something on the ground. They reach, they grab it, they pick it up. Mm-hmm. It's shiny, whatever. It's different. And then he even had mentioned that one time he saw his son pick up a syringe.
Kids pick up everything.
Yeah, you know.
Like trying to keep, my dog every now and then will discard some food from the bowl. And it's like, oh, don't touch that. Don't put that in your mouth. Not in your mouth. Not in your mouth. Right? I mean, that's, then you're in the mouth trying to get the dog food out of the kid's mouth. It's just, but these things happen. Right?
Oh, yeah.
It's hard to prevent them. Let's stick with the world of education.
Yep. 3 days into the new school year. And already the countdown has begun to a labor dispute and withdrawn after school activities. Contract talks between the government, school support staff, they've stalled. QP has requested, it's called a no board report. It's a fancy way of saying, okay, a 17-day countdown to possible job action. Students and parents could be dealing with a worked rule campaign or rotating strikes September 23rd at the earliest, less than 3 weeks from now. Union representing 55,000 school office workers, janitors, EAs, it's across the province. CUPE says, with a straight face even, it's about the children and their education. Union members are in the midst of a strike vote, but the leadership has told us it believes it'll receive a strong strike mandate. So what's the problem?
You know, we're hearing from the minister that local priority funds are available at the bargaining table. We're not seeing that at the bargaining table. So we're hoping that, you know, with us taking this next step, that hopefully this will encourage the government and the Council of Trustees Association to return to the table and seriously consider what we're trying to achieve, which is better service security.
Better service security, job security and money.
Yeah.
Like, just say it how it is. Now, the Minister of Education has issued a statement. He writes in part that he's committed to keeping kids in the classroom. He's disappointed CUPE has decided to take this action. However, he's pleased an agreement was reached with CUPE and the school boards to appoint a mediator. He believes they can resolve their differences at the bargaining table so that students can remain in class where they belong. Two more bargaining dates are set aside, September 17th and 18th. And as we said, the earliest date for job disruptions, or should I say labor disruptions, is the 23rd. So hopefully something productive comes out of 17th and 18th.
Yeah, and you know, look, you look at it, and I agree with what the panel was saying today. I don't believe there's going to be a strike. I think that the province will find some sort of resolution here, but it might not be one that the union is salivating over. It might be one where the union says, okay, well, we have to take a kick in the pants here.
This is a compromise.
But that's not a word that these unions have had in their mouth for the last 15, 16 years.
Yeah, you never really hear that. And I would love to be in these meetings to truly see which side is open to compromise. I mean, it's like anything. It's a negotiation. You make your offer, I make my offer, we meet in the middle somewhere. And there's also the factor, as we've talked many times, the province is broke. It just doesn't have money. We're trying to cut costs wherever we can. You're not going to exactly get what you want. It's not a time of huge prosperity.
And I will say, just because I know the education minister in this province, I think we've got the right person doing this job, that you've got somebody good in there on your behalf looking after your interests as taxpayers.
He's saying the right things.
Yeah, well, he's a smart guy.
Yeah.
He's a very, very smart guy, and I give him full marks and the government full marks for putting him in this position because he's the right person to get the job done.
It's some of them, you know, you see a guy like that on the TV, and we were talking about this the other day as well in the newsroom. It's, if anything, they should almost appoint all these younger ministers because it gives this overall impression of a youthfulness to the government and open to new ideas. And it's a change and it's different from, I mean, you see Vic Fedeli enough, you're like, oh God, Vic, just go away. But at least when you see someone younger, at the very least it's the image of change.
And you hear someone talking about playing solitaire on their phone.
Solitaire.
That type of thing. Yeah, I'm with you. That's a good, no, you're right. You're bang on. It's a good look.
You see him on the TV, you see the education minister, immediately it's just sort of there's a different feeling about the government.
Total different vibe.
Yeah.
Total different vibe. And again, I think, you know, with youth, that doesn't mean you don't know stuff. This guy knows things. I mean, he's a smart, smart guy. So I have some confidence that something will be done here. We want to tell you more about teachers?
Well, I got a little bit more.
Yeah,
so we
sure.
actually got an update from the Toronto District School Board today. Some numbers when it comes to job losses due to provincial funding cuts. So the math works out this way. You got to follow the bouncing ball here. So currently there's 109 full-time positions that remain laid off at the TDSB. This is when it comes to teachers. It works out to about 155 people. It's complicated, though, because basically some part-timers also have full-time work. Now, every year, based on enrollment numbers, the board's able to bring back some laid-off positions. Looks like 80 of those jobs, 80 of the 109, will be brought back. That means 29 positions disappear, which definitely actually includes some full-time teachers.
The fact is there are full-time teachers that will remain laid off. Even if we're able to recall a number of them, there will still be some left over that will not be recalled.
Spokesperson for the TDSB has no numbers on how many people are impacted by the loss of these 29 positions, but indications are it'll be a bit more than 29, somewhere around in that range. Now, this all goes back to, what does it go back to? The promise that no one would lose their job involuntarily when it comes to the PC government, and that's what basically the harping comes in. For me, I don't wish anybody to lose their job, but it goes back to what I'll say every time. It just the money's not there. We have to do something.
Yeah, and the way the unions have framed this is it's going to be thousands of teachers across the province. We're talking about 29 people.
Yeah, 29.
And not to say that's not painful for the 29 people we're talking about. Of course it is. But it's not the gloom and doom that was painted.
No, and it's not. And you look and they talked about the TDSB had talked just recently about, I've forgotten the number already. It was something like 300 in the 300 range, but that of course includes support staff and other individuals. This is just talking about teaching.
Yeah. So again, not the gloom and doom
stinks,
that was painted.
Yeah, we got to do
something. Sucks for the people involved. But again, are we forgetting all of the tough economic times that we've been put in?
No, exactly. And they're still playing it off the liberals. There's one headline I read this morning, and it was, oh, they're spending more than the liberals would have spent. I mean, come on. I don't know why there's any comparison to the prior government and its promises, when, as we've said, it would say anything when you're on death row.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you'd make a call to the warden and say whatever it took.
We're going to spend $2. They'll say have said anything, so the comparisons get frustrating.
Insurance in the news.
Yes, cop pulls you over for speeding. You're grumbling to yourself about the whole thing is a cash grab, and why don't police go after the real crooks? When you start searching for your proof of insurance, and it's hard to find. It's there in the glove compartment with all your mittens. It'll be easier to find it from now on. It's going to be on your phone. Ontario drivers can now carry electronic auto insurance slips. So the finance minister says the pink paper insurance slip, it's not being eliminated yet.
There will be a one-year phase-in period for these new electronic cards. During that time, insurers will continue to issue paper versions of the traditional pink slip, as well as electronic versions for customers that request that option.
Drivers will be responsible for making sure their phone can display the proof of insurance, so there's no, I have a poor signal, my battery was drained, my screen's damaged, trust me, officer, I have insurance. So the electronic cards will feature safeguards that won't allow them to be altered or edited. We're really focusing on privacy when it comes to these.
You like it?
I do. For me, it's about time. I think everything should be on your phone. It already
almost
is.
Yeah, I agree with
him.
All of it.
But a number of people don't like it.
Why?
Mainly
because
they don't want to give they don't want to give their phones to the cops.
Oh, so they think they're going to scan through it, sort of thing. They take it back to the car with them.
Yeah, and Jay, you can attest to this. It's not just one or two people.
No, it was a lot. It was a lot of people. There's this theory that they take the phone back to the car, and we've actually had a number of cops call in to say, "Look, you know, I'll just copy the number off your phone and give you your phone back, and I'll go back to the, you know, I'm not interested in your selfies."
That's not a bad update, actually, to call the province or the police department and say, how would you handle it when it's on the phone? Are you taking the phone back to the car? Because maybe you're right. They just write it down on the clipboard or whatever they always bring out with them, the ticket pad.
The policeman will screen cap it, then ask you to open your email. Then they will put in their own email, and then they'll email themselves a photo of the screen cap, and then they'll give you your phone back, and they'll go back to their car, and then they'll check their email. Hopefully the server's not down.
No, that's rockstar69@hotmail.com.
I love this. We're getting a lot of text messages about the TDSB. 29 people in the TDSB, you idiot. Oh, wait, you live in Toronto and think that's the only city that matters, idiot. First of all, Kitchener, don't use idiot twice in a text message. It makes you sound
redundant.
Like one. Yeah, I mean, you call me an idiot once. I get the idea. But, you know, sure, but what if it's 29 people in every board across the province? Or what if it's not? Like, that's the problem. You just buy into the hype. You buy into the union numbers. Make it like it's true, because if, you know, you repeat something long enough, it sounds like the truth. So let's run with it. And it might not be. Again, the unions, no one calls them out for saying it was going to be hundreds. It was going to be thousands of jobs that we're looking at here.
That's our next story. You see, once we've settled into this school year, then we have to go around the province and say, okay, how much did it really turn out to be?
Yeah.
All the sky is falling. What did it
but
really
nobody
end
wants
up?
To wait for the truth. Nobody wants to wait for the real numbers. They rather just talk about the sky being coming down on us, as you say, and that's it. That's all.
Yeah, we have two categories now, BC government, lovers and haters. That's it.
And the haters going to hate.
Make no mistake, people will die with these cuts.
Thank you, Joe Cressy.
You're welcome.
We've got more to come
you
with Dave
I mean.
McKee and his views on the news in moments. It's Ryan and Jay here on The Rush this afternoon. Dave McKee is here with his views on the news. You want to go with cannabis?
Yeah, why not?
All right, sure.
The rest of these stories are boring, but hey, I got to fill it
somehow.
Don't
say that. You make the stories entertaining. They're not boring.
So the greatest job in the world, just open up. It's the greatest job you could ever have. CEO of the Ontario Cannabis Store. So the guy there, he's retiring. Imagine the perks that come with this one. Patrick Ford handled the launch of the online cannabis retail portal. We know how well that went. He was only there a year. Prior to his job at the agency, Ford worked at the LCBO, second greatest job for perks. Agency says it'll conduct a search for a full-time replacement. I'm going to apply.
You think you could handle that?
Oh.
And why is he retiring?
1 year. But I guess he's worked in the public sector forever, and he's, 52, and it's time to collect his gold-plated pension.
Wow.
I don't know what his age is.
I'd love to be the CEO of the OCS.
Oh, wouldn't that be great?
It's fantastic.
I need to sample this. We're bringing the samples.
Sample Tuesdays.
Sample Tuesdays.
There's tacos in the lunchroom for after. It'd be fantastic.
We have weed, but every day that ends with the day.
You got to figure this is a six-figure job, right? Easy.
Oh, easily.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. High
mid-six.
Mid-six figures?
Yeah.
I want to look that up.
It's, yeah. well, let's go. I'm going to go 375.
That's what you're going to go with. All right, tell people the vaping story, and we'll go from there.
So Health Canada is advising anyone who vapes get medical attention right away if you're worried your electronic cigarettes are harming you. So the federal department reconfirming today, there's no sign in this country of the respiratory illnesses possibly linked to vaping in 25 states in the U.S. One person has died there. U.S. Centers for Disease Control still has no clue why, what really is that's causing all this. Health Canada is asking healthcare workers, ask patients who come in with respiratory issues, do you use e-cigarettes? And it's warning users, don't modify them or use them in ways they're not made for.
We can modify them?
Well, I guess in the sense that, you know, you can put the oil into those little cartridges and then smoke the pot-laced oil that way.
Oh.
So I've heard. Plus, it says if you buy vapes, like I want at home, plus it says if you buy vapes off the black market, well, you're on your own. Those are unregulated and they are potentially dangerous. So there you go. Did you find it yet?
No.
Patrick Ford's Sunshine List?
No. It's hard to find here. It might not be on the Sunshine List because I guess it's a newer, newer job.
That's true. It's only 1 year.
Yeah.
This warning not too surprising considering how you saw it coming because we had so little data.
Oh.
And we've got people that this is their entry into smoking is vaping.
Yeah.
So of course they're going to do it wrong. Remember back in the day when you smoked a cigarette and you were 12 years old, you hacked your lungs out. You quickly learned how to draw properly, blow some rings. Game's over with vaping. Yeah. You can just pull as hard as you want to.
Yeah, we're in that stage still where they're still learning.
Yeah.
But it's still just that craziness in the U.S. Nobody can figure it out. CDC hasn't figured it out. So they're just saying, okay, come to us and tell us as healthcare workers if you're seeing this.
You know, the CEO and president of the LCBO makes $494,000.
Well, there you go. Yeah. Cannabis has to be in that range.
Has to be in that range. Right. That is something, isn't it?
It's a lot of money.
That is a lot of money. This is interesting if you're a big
opera fan.
Opera fan.
Is anyone anymore?
Oh, yeah.
11 women.
You don't like opera?
I mean, I like it in the movies during the big chase scene or the helicopters come over the horizon.
Yeah.
Da, 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 da. 11 women have come forward with new allegations of sexual misconduct against opera legend Placido Domingo. They joined 9 women, makes 20 in total, who stepped forward the 9 were last month, claiming they had been groped, they had been harassed by this star. Domingo has been the general director at the LA Opera since 2003. The new accusers include backstage staff who said his behavior was common knowledge. Management had been aware of it for decades. Some costume department employees said they made it a point to keep young female singers away from him. In a statement, Domingo's spokesperson called the new allegations riddled with inconsistencies. That's not a denial. The LA Opera says it takes new allegations of sexual harassment extremely seriously, even though it ignored it for decades, but cannot discuss any specific claims because of an ongoing investigation. The classic cop out.
I mean, Placido Domingo, I don't know. It's a weird world that I know nothing about.
I think everything's just catching up, right?
I've seen because he's part of the tenors, right?
Is he? Yeah.
Yeah, Domingo, Pavarotti, Carreras, Pavarotti.
Weren't they the starting line for the Real Madrid?
Same guys.
Let me just move right on.
Let's get winded a lot quicker.
That's right.
Nicki Minaj, you're going to go. You're the only man on radio that goes from Placido Domingo to Nicki Minaj.
That's exhausting, being a rapper, singer, songwriter, record producer, actress, and model. I am Nicki Minaj. I match them dudes up. Back coops up and chuck the dudes up. Yep, Nicki Minaj, she's retiring. In a tweet today, the performer wrote, "I've decided to retire and I have my family." In other words, I'm going to retire, I'm going to have a family. I know you guys are happy now. To my fans, keep repping me. Do it till the death of me. X in the box. This is like code words. Because ain't nobody checking me. I don't know, you decipher that however
That's
you
rap.
See fit. Is that what that
That's
is?
That's rap, huh?
She's 36. That's
Get
it.
Get Ryan to sing it. He's a big aficionado.
No.
Come on.
She's born in Trinidad and Tobago.
No.
Minaj has sold 20 million singles as a lead artist. 60
My fans
million
keep
singles.
Repping me. Do it till the death of me. X in the box because ain't nobody checking me.
There you go.
There you go. There's the promo.
Right there.
And yeah, she sold a lot of albums too. Sick 30s, 36, but you know, she still has time to have some babies.
She did a great piece with Jimmy Fallon on The Tonight Show. Because originally her first job was as a waitress at the Red Lobster. So they took Nicki Minaj back to the Red Lobster
good.
In Times Square. And she went through the whole menu and she knew it like the back of her hand and told Jimmy to order this and not to order that. It was phenomenal. It was very funny. And then they put her in a uniform with Jimmy and they served people at the Red Lobster.
Oh, wow.
That would be fun.
That's cool.
There you go.
That's what Fallon does best.
That
stick away from the monologues. Stay with the tape
He's
bits.
A Fallon hater.
Are you?
I'm not a Fallon. No.
He's
I like Jimmy Fallon a lot.
So
I'm a Kimmel guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. But I like Jimmy Fallon.
Okay. That's a backhanded way of showing it. Dave McKee with his views on the news every day at 6 o'clock. Thank you, sir.